Today on Real Radio.
If we spend a half an hour in prayer together, you can tell. You can tell. You say, well, Jack, that's why I don't go to prayer meetings. I'm afraid somebody might be able to tell. No, don't get ripped off like that anymore. Pray with a friend. Come to a prayer meeting. Pray.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series simply called, Why Should I? And of course, one question that often gets asked is, why should I pray? Sometimes we follow up with, isn't God sovereign, or why would he even listen to my prayers? Well, these are actually very good questions, and that's precisely why Pastor Jack addresses these issues as he continues this mini-series called, Why Should I Pray?
And yet every person who's even hearing this right now, they know that there's times in life that can be so difficult that they find themselves even calling out to God. Even in their swank and arrogance, there can be a moment when they say, oh God, are you there? That's an awesome thing. There's hope. There's the gospel. Listen, Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Regarding the hope and this act of prayer, being introduced to it. Listen how much the Lord wants us to enjoy this. It says, so Jesus then came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he came into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened it, he found the place where it was written, so he read it. Isn't that interesting? He turned to a specific place in the book of Isaiah. He knew what he was going to do. And he said, Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to the recovery of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And Jesus began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all the people who bore witness to him marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. The gospel. God wants us to pray. God wants us to be introduced or reintroduced back to fellowship with him. And Jesus' first sermon was out of the book of Isaiah chapter 61. And he says, the Lord has anointed and called me to preach, and here's the message. And let me ask you this. What's wrong with Jesus' message? I've come to open the eyes of the blind. Anything wrong with that, anybody?
No.
To set at liberty those who are captive. Any problem with that? Anybody have a problem with that?
No.
To encourage? You have a problem with that? No. Everything that Jesus said was the mission for his coming is good news. It's all good news. And the people, the eyewitnesses, listen, Mr. Skeptic, the eyewitnesses who were there, they marveled at his gracious words. What was he doing? He was inviting people to have an actual relationship with God in a personal way. And they were marveling at that. What's wrong with his message? Answer, nothing. That's what's wrong with it. Nothing's wrong with it. It's perfect. And that upsets people. It's too simple. It's too easy. Prayer's for little kids. The gospel is for weaklings. Not so. Interesting. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator. The word in Greek is go-between. You know that. The connection. There's one connection between God and mankind, and that is the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom. The word in Greek is a payment for debt. For all of us to be testified in due time. The word testified in due time means once Christ would be resurrected from the dead, Every moment of every day from time and eternity would be the right moment to proclaim that Jesus is the go-between regarding mankind and God. You don't need a statue to pray to anymore. You don't need a picture. You don't have to hold that thing. A couple of weeks ago, one of the chief Muslims of the San Bernardino Empire County region, Inland Empire, came. And the gospel was going out, and he sat over here to the right side, the section over here, and held the Quran over his heart the whole time, shielding him from what was being taught and said. And if you were here, you heard things like this: Jesus died for your sins. Oh, wow, that almost got me. He loves you. Whoa, oh, I reflected that one. He was holding the Quran over his heart the whole time. And then I was told later, oh yeah, he's shielding himself from all of this terrible bad news. Jesus has come to set at liberty those who are bound. Bound. Amazing. Another thing we see here, that prayer introduces us to God because we believe he's willing to help us. God is willing to help us. Are you with me, everybody? We need to hear this. God is willing to help us. Last night I was driving down the mountain, and there was a man. I saw him too late, too much momentum going down the hill, couldn't do anything about it. But you could see him. He had, his car was broken down, and he had such a uncommitted, doubting thumb up in hitchhiking. Poor guy. His car was broken down, and as you come around the corner, I thought, oh, this guy's not going to get any help, because you'd have to slam on your brakes and cause an accident just to help the guy. And he's like this. He's standing there like this. And his thumb wasn't even into it. It's like, I know, there ain't nothing going to happen. It was really sad, and I thought, man, he doesn't have much confidence in his moment of need. And that thought entered my mind, Lord, I thank you, dear God, that when we pray, you are so willing to help us. I am convinced when trouble comes to my life that God wants to be speaking or saying something to me that otherwise, listen, everyone, otherwise, if it was not for the trouble, I would not hear what he's saying. I'd miss it. I would miss it. He's willing to help. See, Chuck, what do you mean by that? I'll show you what I mean by that. How does this grab you? Psalm 50, verse 15. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Oh, well, that doesn't grab you unless you're in trouble. So what was that psalm? Psalm 50, verse 15. I'm in trouble. Good. There's a promise for you. Call upon me in your day of trouble. He's willing. How about Psalm 91, verse 14? Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. That's God speaking. I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. And I will be with him in time of trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. That's Psalm 91, verses 14 to 16. Man, that's a good one. I'm confident now. He wants to hear from me. Jeremiah 29, verse 12. Jeremiah 29, 12. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you have searched for me with all of your heart. Isn't that great? Man, I love that. Why is God so willing? He loves you and me. And also, listen, mark this down. Our third consideration under this one and only point today. prayer introduces us to God because God alone is our only answer. Did you know that? Oh, this always upsets people. God alone is our only answer. You say, Pastor, you say that one more time, I'm going to get up and get out of here. God alone is our only answer. That's sure narrow-minded. Call me narrow. Look, my mind used to be really open, and I'm still trying to recover from all that. Oh, you know, just do what feels good. I could let my mind go. I can close my eyes. Hey, you know what I'm talking about? I've been saved, what is that, like 26 years now, 27 years? I can let my mind go, and I will see things of the past in technicolor in an instant. I can't remember how to find, you know, whatever I'm looking for. What was that address? Tell me that phone number again. But man, I can let my mind go and it'll go back to the past and all the evil days. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody agree with me now. Yes. Man, you missed. I'm starting to feel kind of alone there for a minute. The point is, don't let your mind go. Bring every thought under the captivity of Christ, says the Bible, you know? But I tell you, what God has delivered me from, and then to just enjoy the whole thing that God alone's the answer for me. You see, well, you must live a very boring and shallow life. No, because God's the only answer. That is absolutely the batteries you need for life. And in my opinion, it propels you into the most exciting life. Why? Because I know that God's the only answer. In Luke chapter 12, verse 32, listen to this. Jesus says, "Do not fear, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Do you believe that? I believe that. God is the answer. A few things I want you to jot down. Five things specifically I'd love you to jot down regarding just the benefits of God and his desire to answer prayer. First of all, one is prayer acts as a communication line unto God. Jot it down. Number one, prayer acts as a communication line. We can communicate to God through prayer. That's tapping into the heart and the mind of God. How does that happen? Through prayer. God is leading this nation in a purpose. God's doing something in the world. I don't want to miss it. Say, well, I don't get it. Well, you know what? I want to encourage you. Number one, prayer is an act, or it acts as a communication line. It lets us into the heart and mind of God. That's not a bad thing. Ask God what to do. Number two, prayer allows us nonstop fellowship with God. It brings us back to the garden, so to speak. Wow. Those of you who are praying people, you understand what this is like. You're not worried as much as you used to be about things, and you're worrying less the more you walk like this. Because you know what? You're in fellowship with God. You're communicating with Him. The line's open. He's talking to you. He's leading you. My prayer for this church is that you and I would experience more and more of this, what I'm talking about. Will you forgive me if I tell you that it's a great feeling to have constant fellowship with God, that when I sin and that's broken, I want to quickly repent and come back and make sure it's established, reestablished right away, because I get lonely quick. Do you know what I'm talking about? Well, Jack, when are you in the presence of God? I want to be able to answer you, well, I should come back and maybe say, when am I not in the presence of God? He's everywhere. And I'm His child. And the only time that the communication line's broken is when I'm not fellowshipping with Him, and that is only severed because of sin. But that only has to go on for a nanosecond of time. Because the moment I have that outburst of anger or that lustful thought or that, you know, whatever it might be, oh God, that was wrong, forgive me, Lord. Wham! It's restored again and fellowship is there. Instantly. Third thing, keep this in mind, that prayer changes things. You say, where'd you get that from? From the trailer out at the property. Drive by the freeway, it says prayer changes things. Now I think we turned it around, right? Dave, didn't you turn it around? Now it says, thank you, Jesus. Well, prayer changes things. Prayer is a transformational tool. Transforms our lives. It's a tool. It doesn't do it in and of itself, but it is an avenue. It's a tool. Prayer is a tool that by it, our lives are changed, our will is changed. And let me give you a little bit of example. And I don't know if you're here this morning. I do not mean to embarrass you. I did not get this person's permission, so I will not say the name. But I got a letter this week from a family. And it went something like this. I used to drive north on the freeway. Driving by the property, I saw the sign every day, prayer changes things. As I thought about that, I then found out where the church was responsible for the sign and began attending. Not only did my life change, but my spouse's life has changed, my children's life has changed, and every week now we come and we're experiencing the truth of what it said on the side of that construction trailer. Prayer changes things, and I want to thank you very much for the sign on the side of the freeway. That is awesome. I love that. Well, prayer also unites us. Prayer unites us through a commonality. Remember we read in Acts chapter 2 that they had all things in common? How did that ever come about? Because they were a praying people. What do I mean by through a commonality? Well, by this, that prayer, when we pray together, we have a tendency to stick together. And what I mean by that is this, that I can talk to you, look, we can go out to dinner, we can go to a movie, we can go to a picnic, it doesn't matter, that's fun, that's nice. That's great. But you know what? What might take me 6 months to figure out about you, and you about me, if we spend a half an hour in prayer together, you can tell. You can tell. You say, well, Jack, that's why I don't go to prayer meetings. I'm afraid somebody might be able to tell. No, don't get ripped off like that anymore. Pray with a friend. Come to a prayer meeting. Pray. Start out this walk, this reintroduction to prayer. Don't make it a legalistic, arrogant thing. Well, I'll wait and I'll listen in for a few months until I get all the lingo down and then I'll pray out loud. That's pride. This last Friday at the prayer meeting, and there's a list of prayer meetings that you can attend throughout this church. This one guy starts to pray, Lord, I thank you for bringing this church and these people into my life. And that was just about all he got out until the tears started coming and the crackly old voice came on because of what God's doing in his life. Now, a legalist would have said to himself, well, that wasn't a very ornate prayer. There wasn't very many these and thous in that one. He let his emotions get away with him. No, this man was just grateful to God, and he uttered from his heart what was in his heart, and God's heart was warmed. And if you're a Christian, that's important to you, to warm the heart of God. If you're a parent, there's nothing like having your kid call. Last night, my child was away at Disneyland, and just right out of the blue, hey, she calls. Hey, what's up? What do you mean, what's up? Just call and say hi. Where are you? Disneyland. I told you I was going to Disneyland. What are you doing? I'm walking around. What are you calling for? Did you get robbed? Are you okay? Did the car break down? No, just call and say hi. I came home from the retreat last night pretty late. I came in. Lisa was laying in bed, but she was awake. I walked in the door. She goes, guess what? I go, what? You know? And she said, I can't say her name, But a certain daughter called and said, "Hi." "Really? Wow. It's awesome." "Yeah. Man, that warmed our heart." "Hi, God," we would say. That's not very formal, is it? Don't tell me his heart's not warmed. "Hey, Lord, thanks." When we pray together, there's a commonality that takes place. I thank God for this church. In our prayer meetings, you have been most gracious. Because when we pray together, it's out there. And you know what I love about this church? We're desperate. Did you know that? We are a desperate church. "Oh God, if you don't touch us, if you don't move, if you don't heal us, God, if you don't provide, God, if you don't do, we're going to be destroyed. We're going to be wiped out. Our enemies will defeat us, God." And men are praying for jobs in the prayer meeting. Women are praying for husbands and for children. It's awesome. And finally, jot this down in these five considerations about prayer here under this point, is that prayer enables us to move offensively. And this is where we'll end. It enables us to move offensively. So what do you mean by that? When we pray, this is the best part. When we pray, we attack. We attack. When we begin to pray, God begins to move. And listen, all of a sudden the church or the Christian is put into the offensive attack mode. Not defensive. Prayer is offensive. You'll often hear in prayer, in our meetings. "Okay, are you guys ready?" "Yeah." "Ready?" "All right, hang on. Here we go." That's some of the things we say in prayer. "Hang on, here we go. Where are we going?" "You better hang on." "Well, why, people running around in the prayer meeting?" "No. It's where we're going in the spirit. Are you ready?" "Yeah." "Okay, hang on, here we go. Father, wham! We're instantly before the throne of God. Hi, God. Lord, we need you." "What is it?" "I know you're willing. So I think," he says, "what is it? Lord, we need you to move on the city regarding this permit. We need you to talk to the architect about that. We need to have you, Lord, touch this family. God, this woman's got a tumor." And I love it. I don't see him up there sitting on the throne with his arms folded. I see him like in the book of Acts, the Bible says, Jesus rose to his feet and stood and received Stephen into his arms. That's how it is when we pray.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson simply called, Why Should I Pray? It's actually a series within a series and part of Pastor Jack's collection of lessons called Why Should I? And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, have you seen our Monday night television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs? We also have an app for your smartphone or your tablet that goes by the same name, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Just go to your app store and download it for free. Lots of features related to Real Radio right there at your fingertips, like Journey, another one of our TV programs that airs on his channel. Also, Words to the Wise, Pastor Jack's devotional that I truly love and that you can get in your email box. Our Wednesday night study, which also airs on hischannel.com live. Our Real Radio podcasts, and of course, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, our Monday night TV program that deals with just that, real life issues through the lens of Scripture. That and a whole lot more with the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone. I've got it on my smartphone. In fact, I'm looking at it right now. It sure makes things convenient and easy. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the new free app for your tablet or smartphone. And of course, to learn more, you can always visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.